Would you open your Bible again today to Revelation chapter 19? Revelation chapter 19. I'm bringing some messages in this short series of messages from the book of the Revelation. They're really not a series. It's just simply taking the verses as we find them here in the 19th chapter. And today we're going to talk about the name of the Lord, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name. And I hope that it will be a blessing to your heart. It'll be more of a blessing if you'll turn and read in chapter 19 with me. Now, I'm going back to verse 11. We preached from that last week, but I'm not going to stop there. I'm going on down and read the rest of this passage again because it'll do us good to hear it. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew, but he himself, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. I might not get back to that, so I had already mentioned that I was going to come riding with him on a white horse. There, of course, is the proof. Now he says, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. That's the battle of Armageddon. That's when from the word of his mouth he destroys all of the wicked armies of Satan and all of the nations upon the earth that have gathered to battle against him. And in the valley of Armageddon, the blood will run 22 miles wide, 170 miles long, up to the horse's bridle. And the Bible doesn't say that the horse was lying down. It doesn't say a thing about that. Now that is a lot of carnage. That is a lot of blood. That is a lot of blood running because of the wrath of holy God against the enemies of God. Oh, you can laugh and make fun of him today. You can make fun of the Bible today. You can make fun of Christians today. You can make fun of those fundamentalists today who want to believe the Bible and want to live right and want to serve God and want to get people saved and want to send missionaries around the world. You can make fun of us today, but one of these days the tune will change. You say, preacher, you sound glad of it. I'm not really glad of it. I want to see you saved. I'd much rather you'd be on our side. I'd much rather you'd trust God and serve him and love him and be a part of his program. But if you don't, I'm just telling you what's going to happen, and that God is going to reign, and he's going to pour out the fierceness of his wrath upon the earth. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, in these passages that I've read, I find here three different names given to the Lord. There are many, many names in the Bible that are given to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called Jesus when he was born. He didn't have that name until he was born of a virgin. Before that, he was the eternal Son of God. Maybe I said this on one of the daily programs recently. Jesus is eternal. You and I are everlasting. You see, eternal means that he is from everlasting to everlasting. Everlasting means that from now on we are alive. From now on we are a part of God's family. And we will never, ever, on the last end of eternity, we will never, ever be lost. But we were not in existence back before the foundation of the world, like the Lord Jesus Christ. He, as the Son of God, has forever been, and that's eternal. That's from everlasting to everlasting. But then when we get saved, we receive everlasting life. and it will never end. If it's everlasting, it cannot end. Now, you'll have to make up your mind whether you believe the Bible or whether you believe the interpretation some men have put upon certain passages. It only takes one word for me to know that I'm born again, saved by God's grace forever. I have everlasting life. I am promised that by God. I am given that by God when I get saved. And if it's everlasting, then it will always last. Everlasting life. Now that's life, not death. You see, there is everlasting death. You say, well, what's the difference, preacher? How can a person last in death everlastingly? Well, death is separation from God. Death is eternal, everlasting separation from God. So if you die without receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you will die without God physically, and you will die spiritually forever and forever and forever without an end. If you get saved, get born again, trust Jesus as your Savior, then you receive everlasting life, and you will never die spiritually. You may die physically, but you will never die spiritually, for you will live on and on with Jesus forever and forever. Now, I mentioned here we have the Lord Jesus Christ given three names in this passage of Scripture. He's called Jesus. He's called the Son of God. He's called Lord. He's called Christ. He's called the Bright and Morning Star. And we could go on and on and on with all of the names that's given to Jesus in the Bible. But three of them are right here in this passage. First of all, in verse 12, it says, "And he had a name written that no man knew." A written that no man knew. In other words, a name that no man knew what it was. We can take it in that light, and it would be perfectly biblical. No man knows what it is and what it's going to be, or may never know what that name is. I don't know about that. But it is a name that no man will ever have but him. No man ever knew that name. Now, I know my name. I am he. But this is a name that no man knew but him. This is a name that reflects the essential glory of the eternal Son of God. The essential glory of the eternal Son of God. A name that no man knew. A name that no man will ever be able to apply to himself. A name that no man will ever have. Now, the name Jesus, which means Savior and Redeemer, that name is used today. Not so much in this country, but it's used in third world countries. It's used in Latin American countries quite often. In Spanish, it's the name Yesu, and that means Jesus. That's the same name as Jesus. Now, we're more enlightened in this country on the things of the Bible because of our foundation, because of our forefathers before us knew more about the Lord Jesus Christ than those who founded and developed the third world countries, and particularly in Latin America. They did not have the reverence for the name Jesus that they ought to have. Now, we have reverence for that name, and we do not use it for another. But there are others called Jesus, and there may be others called other names that are used in the Bible concerning Jesus Christ. But this is a name that no man knew. It could mean, as I said, that no man would ever know what it was. No man knew could mean that no man knew before now what that name is. I like to think of the fact that in eternity, and I say this according to the book of the Revelation as a whole, I believe we will know Jesus as the Lamb of God in heaven. I really don't think we'll use the name Jesus. I think we'll use the name Lamb. Bow down and worship the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. But that's neither here nor there. That's something that is not that important. But it is important that Jesus Christ's name is a name that is above every name, a name that he only will have, a name that no other man will ever know. And so I can't call that name because no man ever knew that name, and I do not know it now. but it is a name that points to his essential glory and to his eternity as the Son of God. That's name number one that is mentioned here in these verses. And then we look down a little bit further, and we see another name that is given to him, and that's in verse 13. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. Now that's capital W-O-R-D. I said something in these messages last week or week before, I'm not sure, about the fact that Jesus Christ is the living Word. The Bible tells us in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, this is Jesus Christ, who is the Word of God. I hold here, I'm not holding it, actually, I've got it laying upon a shelf here beside the recorder, the Word of God. It is the eternal Word of God. It is forever settled in heaven, and it is the written Word of God. Aren't you glad that God gave us His Word written? How many times have you just thanked God for His Word? Have you ever just sat down and or knelt down and prayed, "Oh God, thank you for your Word"? What a terrible life it would be if we did not have the Word of God. What if we didn't have the instructions of the Word of God? What if we didn't know how to be saved? What if we didn't know the future from the Word of God? What if we didn't know the past from the Word of God? Then we'd have to learn that for ourselves as well as history repeated itself. What if we didn't have the Word of God to give us instruction as to what was right and wrong? And most of all, what if we didn't have the Word of God to tell us, the written Word, to tell us how to be saved? What if we didn't have that? So you ought to thank God for the Word of God. And this is the name given to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it primarily speaks here of His incarnation in human flesh. Now, you say, why do you say that? Because John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and tabernacled," or dwelt among us. The Word is Jesus, was made flesh. He had lasted forever and forever in eternity past and in eternity future. He was. As God said, "I am." He is God, and He was, and He is, and He shall ever be. But He became the Word of God revealed in Jesus Christ upon this earth when He was born of a virgin. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Now the Holy Spirit then gave us the written Word, much of it, of course, the very words of Jesus while He was upon this earth. And then the words of those that He directed to write down the Word, word for word, absolutely, word for word. Oh, He could have used their own vocabularies. That's no problem whatsoever. He could have used their own style of writing, which He did. And that doesn't mean that it's not inspired. That doesn't mean that they had any part in what was said. It simply means that God used what they had to give us His eternal Word. And that shows Jesus was incarnate in human flesh, dwelt among us for 33 and a half years before He went back to heaven in the ascension to offer His blood on the altar to make an atonement for our sins. So it is the Word of God that He is called here. And in heaven, He will be known as the Word of God. Now, one other name given Him in verse 16, "And He hath on His vesture," that's on His clothing, "and He had on His vesture and on His thigh a name written." Now this name is written down on Jesus Christ. Written down on Jesus Christ. You know, that's interesting. I don't really understand that. I don't understand that. There's not going to be any doubt as to who he is when we stand before him in heaven. There's not going to be any doubt as to who he is, but his name is going to be written down. You'll remember when they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ and Pilate put the sign on the cross, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God." And the Jewish leaders wanted him to change that and say that he claimed to be the Son of God, and Pilate wouldn't change it. Well, his name was written over his head on the cross. But now, when he comes again, he sets up his kingdom, and he rules and reigns forever here upon, or reigns upon this earth for 1,000 years, and reigns forever in eternity. His reign does not end at 1,000 years. He reigns forever and forever, and he is going to have on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Boy, that's really going to change things, isn't it? That's really going to change things from what we think of it now. Oh, so much is made over people's names and over their position in the world. So much is made over their great power and a great authority. Great king so-and-so of such and such a country. I'll not name any because it would work as good for one as it would for another. The great president of the United States, a powerful position, a tremendous position, a position of great honor, by the way, a position that should be respected, a position that he who bears that title ought to carry it with honor and with pride, and ought to carry it with honesty, and ought to carry it with chastity, ought to carry it with purity, ought to carry it with glory, ought to carry it with honor to the name of God who allowed him to become in that position. But one day we're going to get rid of all of the earthly potentates. We're going to get rid of all of the earthly kings. We're going to be rid completely and forever of all of the rulers that defy God. All of the rulers that defy the Bible, and all of the rulers that defy true Bible-believing Christianity. And we're going to have as our King of Kings and Lord of Lords the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Let me say it one more time. I'm glad I'm on his side. I'm glad I'm saved by his marvelous grace. I'm glad he is my Savior. He is my Lord. He is the one that I love. He is the one that loves me. And frankly, he loves you. And if you're not in the family of God, if you're not a born-again child of God, you can become one by simply believing what God said in the Bible, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." You bow right there and turn yourself completely over to God. Surrender yourself unconditionally to him. Trust him to save you, and he'll do it right now.